You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Still not done discussing the Pelicans 114-95. When we'll hear from Alvin Gentry, Anthony Davis, and Frank Jackson as well this hour. Going to play a lot of sound. We'll mix in your phone calls. We'll still talk about the Clemson beating 44-16 over Alabama. What's your thoughts of Travis Etienne? Jennings High School in Jennings, Louisiana. Not one, not two. Three touchdowns from him.
Travis Etienne, the handoff, running to the left, has a hole, breaks a tackle, and scores a touchdown! And it's a handoff to Etienne in the end zone untouched. It's a shovel pass to Etienne, and his third touchdown of the night.
Papa Jeff on Twitter, at ESPN Radio NOLA, why aren't we keeping guys like Etienne at home? Look, that's one of the struggles, right? I mean, you can't keep everyone. That said, Alabama and Clemson have used Louisiana kids to win national championship games. And look, it's real simple to me, right? Where can you go and have a chance to win? And I've mentioned the stats the last 4 years. Alabama 55-4, two titles. The last 4 years, Clemson 55-4, two titles. Now you can argue, hey, some of those 55 wins from Alabama, a little tougher than 55 wins is 55 wins. Two titles is two titles. Are you performing at the time that you get the game, right? So it is interesting though, a Louisiana kid gets three touchdowns in a national championship game. I will say this, that's why you hear obviously Matt Moscona, and after further review after our show, make such a big deal about this 2019 class that Coach O got. Running back in Emory, Stingley Jr., a bunch of other players as well. That they got some of the top talent in Louisiana to stay, to commit, and to say they're there to beat Bama, to say to do that. So let's see what happens. But it starts there. Starts with recruiting. We're talking about on the show today, 800-998-1003 and at ESPN Radio NOLA. Looking for your thoughts on the national championship game. What stood out? I thought about saying what's the one thing, but there were so many things that stood out, right? And we've thrown them all out there. We're going to talk a little bit about this. I'll play some sound between the coaches and players. I want you to chime in as well. We'll also hear from Doug Peterson a little bit more on what he had to say. He talked yesterday. Saints get back at it tomorrow as well as the Eagles. It's your Wednesday show, so you'll hear, obviously, the conference call from Wednesday morning from Sean Payton as we get closer to the Saints and Eagles. But all of that's on the table here in hour three, so I want to hear your thoughts on there. But when you look at last night's game, you know, there's a handful of things that stood out. Tua, was he overconfident? Was he so used to being able to just step on the field and just outrun, outthrow, outgun opponents and teams? You heard Clint Sterner, who runs a quarterback camp, teaches young kids, quarterback with the Cowboys, quarterback with the Razorbacks, say he could see some of those mistakes from a guy that hadn't gotten really tested. Right? I mean, it's a kid that sat most of the fourth quarters, if not second halves this season, and didn't face a secondary like that. I thought it was an interesting point that Clint brought up in which he said that the officials, he noticed immediately, they were going to let them play. They were going to let them be physical. They were going to let them play. And it throws you off a bit. We've talked about this in the past, right, with the Saints back in the day, and the way that to beat a finesse team is to be physical. It'll be interesting on Sunday, right? You know the Eagles and Jim Schwartz, you already heard Brandon Marshall say there, that defense, they're going to try to impose their will, kind of change the tempo of the game, right? Be physical receivers. You can expect that. You're going to see a PI call. Are you? Are you not? They're going to try to be physical with Michael Thomas. They're going to try to be physical with Tre'Quan Smith. They'll be physical. They'll try to do that, right? And I just gave you the numbers Oh, now they've gotten better at stopping the run. 100 plus to about 80 something. So it's things like that that you kind of look at. But the things that stood out to me, yeah, Tua just like, he was just forcing the ball into triple coverage, just kind of not setting himself. He stepped into one of those sacks, where he had the running back coming out the backfield. If he dumps it to him, it's a gain. He looked him off and then he kind of went into where the pressure was coming from. And, you know, I'm not saying he's wrong on this.
You know, just like what Xavier said, we had a great season, but five words, good is not good enough. We didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. We didn't do the things we needed to do to execute and be successful in this game, and that's all it is.
Clemson played pretty well. Good game plan, right? And then he had this, and we'll go to Ben.
It wasn't anything different, you know, from the seniors, from Coach Saban. You know, just go out there. We gotta execute, play at a fast level, high level of intensity, focus on what you gotta do play by play. That was it. We just gotta go out there and just do what we do.
I don't know. When you say what anything they did, man, they game planned really, really well. And he looked confused. He looked like he didn't just go out there and wing it. And it affected. He didn't play well at all. Right? Ben, thanks for giving us a call on the Sports Hangover. What do you got?
Just a couple of things I noticed was, you know, up front, Clemson's O-line just manhandled a spectacular Alabama D. I mean, they gave Trevor Lawrence, you know, ample time to throw. And, I mean, he's an exceptional quarterback. He's going to pick you apart. And that's why Dabo Sweeney, you know, gave him the reins early in the season. But from a whole team standpoint, when you look at the season, Alabama dismantled everybody in front of them. They hadn't been in a close game. And I always say this, if you're a team that's been in a bunch of close games versus a team that's dismantled everybody in front of you, you're going to know what to do. So, as soon as Alabama got down, they didn't know what to do. They hadn't been down all year. They haven't been a close game all year. So they kind of like, you know, deer in the headlights from a whole team, standpoint. They're like, what do we do? We're down. Like, what do we do? They did not know what to do because they hadn't really faced adversity all year.
It's funny you say that because one of the things, Ben, is when you mentioned if you've been in those close games, I thought that was one of the things that really helped the Saints. They've been in close games, right, a lot this year. So I think that's going to help them. But with Alabama, you're right. I mean, and you just wonder. And again, I just go back to Clint. He's a quarterback. I'm not. He says it. You know, I mean, having not played in a lot of games and just even if he plays in the fourth quarter and it's 70-something, do you get anything out of just being in close games, right? Do you gain anything out of the competition not being as good as that? I mean, those DBs were on point. That was an NFL starting defensive line that was coming after him. You don't have many teams like that. But again, Ben, that's why I keep bringing it up. Those are the only two teams in college football that have the exact same record in two titles in the last 4 years apiece. 55-4 and two titles.
Being in close games teaches you how to win games in different ways. You know, you win with defense, you win with offense, you may win with special teams. I mean, when your team is creative and learning how to, you know, outsource different ways to win, it just, you know, teaches you where your strengths and weaknesses are. And, you know, you learn how to be resourceful with what you got. You know, Alabama was just, you know, solid on defense, solid on offense, but they never had to claw back into a game. And I think that Tua was a little overconfident. I think that, you know, Saban kind of went into this like, oh, I've got 3 weeks. But, I mean, if we went through, what is it, 256 games for the Power 5 conference, and this is what we end up with, the same two teams that we kind of knew were going to be there, you think Saban didn't have, you know, the national championship circled knowing he was going to go up against probably Dabo Sweeney? I mean,
yeah.
I think that Saban just met his match. I mean, like, Dabo Sweeney, he's got his number. Last year, you know, he didn't have a good quarterback. You know, everybody kind of knew that guy, the guy that came before Lawrence wasn't very good.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Saban went out and got him a stud quarterback. But, I mean, it shows that I think Saban just maybe Dabo is a sign of things to come that the rest of the college football world is catching up with Saban.
Here's the other thing, too, and we had it from an earlier caller, and I think Clint even brought it up. What was it, 6 defensive backs in the last year and a half, starters that are gone. At some point, man, the ridiculous stretch of it, and I get the old next man up. And, yes, we saw some depth when LSU played UCF and guys either going to the pros or getting ejected and other guys stepped in. I get that. But they've had a stretch where they have NFL players and NFL starters be replaced by NFL starters, not, you know, second round players or third or fourth round players, but starters, even first round picks. So At some point, that attrition goes. And then, as Clint pointed out early in the season, I mean, which is why I had him on in our two-bed, they're just not that same physical smash-mouth football team. They're not. And you saw it. And while they weren't this year, Clemson has been building to be that, because I think that's what you have to beat Alabama, right? I mean, you have to be physical. And, dude, it's like I said, it's a perfect gumbo recipe. You saw the catches those receivers made, dude. Those are NFL grabs, man. Those are Michael Thomas grabs. The quarterback slinging it. You had, you know, ETN from Jennings. You saw what he could provide at the backfield. You had a quick back that did that. The O-line, man, and the D-line, those were grown men. Those were huge guys, man. It takes a while to build to that. But that's what you need to do to beat
Clemson. Didn't even have their best defensive man.
No.
Clemson's best defensive man was on the bench. So yeah. It could have been even more laughable than it was.
Yeah, it's incredible when you look at it, man. Anything else stood out?
Not really. I mean, I just think that, you know, Alabama, another thing that Alabama was missing was that bell cow back. They never really developed one over the season. Usually you see late in the season, some back from Alabama will just hog the backfield and just run over everybody. They didn't have that this year. I think they relied on Tua a little bit too much. So, you know, they said, you know, we're going to hang our head with Tua, and that's where we're going to let lie. And, it kind of came back to bite them, because that secondary of Clemson was amazing. They played amazing ball last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It was definitely something to kind of check it. I mean, that was the better team, right? It wasn't fluky. They beat them. They beat them.
Yep. Have a good one, bud.
Appreciate it, man. 800-998-1003. Dabo Swinney on the win. Had this to say.
Man, just amazing night. And, I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to be a part of it. And as I said out there, it's just the grace of God to have opportunity to experience something like this once in a lifetime. And to have a chance now to do it, you know, two times in the past 3 years is just amazing. Just amazing. I'm so proud of our team. This team was special from day one. Our leadership, our focus, our commitment. But I'm just so happy for all these guys, our staff, our fans, our administration, our former players. Congratulations to Alabama. Unbelievable season, and champion that they've been. But our guys, they had a clear vision of, the way we wanted this to go tonight. And, you know, I think we were able to achieve that. We took care of the ball. We attacked, made big plays. Defensively, we bent a little bit, but we didn't break. Had some critical stops, made some plays in special teams. And it was just a complete performance all the way through. I mean, our guys had the eye of the tiger, but I'm so proud. And then for our seniors to be able to go out 15-0 and truly be the best ever. You know, there was a lot of talk about best ever all year long. We were never in that conversation. But tonight, there's no doubt, you know, first 15-0 team to beat Notre Dame and to beat Alabama to do it. This team won 13 games by 20 points or more. And, led by an unbelievable group of seniors, amazing group. And, I'm just thankful to be a part of it. And you know, it's just an amazing moment. So, you know, having done this before, as I just told these guys, you enjoy this moment and we're certainly going to enjoy it. But at the end of the day, it's really more an appreciation for the journey here, what we went through to get here, the grind, the struggles. And then what you remember most and appreciate most is the relationships that you have in place. So an amazing moment, so thankful, and can't wait to get back started Friday and see if we can find a way to go do it again.
Not much of a break there, Joey. Ready to go back on Friday and start doing it. Take some time off, man. He was asked if this is the kind of program that he wanted. He said, yeah, he did envision building a program like
this. Well, it's what we set out to do. In fact, at my very first board meeting, I've said this many times, I walk in this room, I don't know any of these people, and they all got suits on, and it was very stuffy, and I'm like, this ain't going to go well. And one of the guys says, you know, Coach, we just want to be a program like Michigan and Florida and Georgia, a team that's really good academic. And I'm sitting there talking to myself saying, keep your mouth shut. Just shut up, get out of here, and move on. But Alabama and me wouldn't allow that. Kind of cut the guy off, and I just said, I don't mean this disrespectful. That's not my goal. My vision for Clemson is for all these other schools to want to be like Clemson. I want to build a model program. and I want to do it in a way that loves our players, serves our players, equips our players. I want to have some fun doing it, and if it don't work, hey, I can go do something else.
Pretty interesting, right? And he says this is just another step of building on the successes from one after another. And if you remember, I brought this up when you looked at the game in which, you know, it was that Peach Bowl game against LSU. Remember? I mentioned this. The celebration, the acting, like that was a national championship game for them. It was them beating an SEC team. It was them beating a team that's won national championship. You could just see it in them.
I mean, we won our first division in 9. Everything we've done once, we've done again. We won our first division, we've won it 7 times. We won our first league championship in 11, we've won it 5 times. We had our first 10-win season in 11, we've had 8. We had our first top 10 recruiting class, I don't know, we've had 7 of them. But we ain't ever had the top recruiting class, probably never will. But we've done okay.
800-998-1003. We come back, we'll hear from Coach Saban, what he thinks with some of the issues and some of the other opinions out there as well. Any thoughts on a national title game? What did you think? What stood out to you? We've kind of gone over through a handful of physicalities, out coach, quarterback play, a little difference there. Did you think that Tua was going to kind of look like that, right? Do you think he was a little overconfident? It kind of sounded like, well, it's nothing they did, we just didn't do it. Dude, they stuffed you. They stuffed you pretty good on that 4th and goal in the 4th quarter. They stopped you. Their defense was good. We got some more from the Pels win against Memphis. We'll hear from Alvin Gentry, AD, and Frank Jackson coming up this hour as well. Plus some not forgotten Saints and Eagles. We'll get into that. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
For over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Sign up for the South Lafourche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp Saturday, January 19th, hosted by head coach Andrew Revalier, assistant coaches Chandler Guidraz, Corey Helmer, and Brian Shassaw, and assisted by the South Lafourche Tarpon Baseball Team. Open to ages 5 through 14, that's South Lafourche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp January 19th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the La Rose Regional Park. Registration begins at 8 a.m., $60 per player. Bring your glove, bat, cleats, and hat. For more information, contact Coach Revalier at sltarponbaseball@gmail.com.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003. I love it. I love the GIFs here as well. Let's see. Several people saying that they were happy, of course, that Alabama lost. Nola Dad says, good. Gives us some hope. Maybe we really aren't so far away from beating Bama again. One of the questions I asked as the show started was, if you're an LSU fan watching last night, did it make you feel better or did it make you feel worse in terms of this, right? Are you sitting there going, whoa, there is a gap between Alabama and LSU on the line and their line got smoked? Does that make you feel better? Or is that, you know, like this morning, a lot of people saying, hey, there's a game plan on how to beat Alabama. It's interesting because Freddie Coleman. Coleman and Ian Fitzmaurice to do a late night show here on ESPN. He had this to say about Tua. And again, you watch that game. I don't know if it was overconfidence. I don't know if he didn't take it seriously enough. I don't know if it was just he hadn't seen anything like that before and he just thought, hey, we'll figure it out at some point. Maturity and knowing that, you know, that there's other things there. But, I made several comments and references certain times during the game. I'm like, come heck or high water, he was throwing that ball. Come heck or high water, he was running that ball. Come heck or high water, he had no intentions of throwing the football. He was going to try to scramble and go get that. And again, you heard Clint say it. Clint Sterner, the former Arkansas and Dallas Cowboy quarterback and now number two, say there were some mistakes that were made because of lack of playing or lack of maturity, lack of understanding those things. Whereas conversely, yeah, you look at what Lawrence was able to do and a good game plan for him, right? Crossing routes, out routes, dump offs. He uses mobility to be able to do those things. They didn't really ask him to go win it. Those three touchdowns by ETN, they were either a shovel pass or a handoff and things like that. So, and plays being made. Now, he aired it out on a couple of plays, but single coverage, finding the right guy to go to. Here's what Coleman had to say, though, on Tua and the challenge now that Nick Saban has.
Nick Saban has never had a quarterback like this in college football, Alabama. He's had game managers. He's had guys that didn't make mistakes. He never had to worry about those guys putting your defense on a short field. Now he's got a guy with an otherworldly arm. So more than ever before, Nick Saban and whoever's going to be the offense coordinator, you better do a better job of coaching him up because now you have film on how to slow him down. Now you have film on what his weaknesses are. He's got a five-star quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. He's never had a guy like that with NFL ability at that position. This is not just a Tua problem. From this point on, that coaching staff has to do a better job of coaching him up.
Is what Ian Fitzsimmons had to say about
the
Panthers.
They were done, bro. I mean, after the fake field goal, and then comes back and gets a score. I'm telling you, it was like a 1,000-yard stare because these Alabama players have never felt this before. Yeah, they were down double digits to Georgia, but they never felt like they were out of it. They had this 1,000-yard stare, this stunned look on all of their faces. I mean, it was this look of disbelief on every single one of their faces, including Tua. Every guy to a man outside of Damien that I saw, they had this look of what just happened.
And again, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence and the success that he had. Jesse Palmer loves the what he calls future number one overall pick in the NFL.
Lock to be the first pick of the NFL draft. I think he's going to be a superstar on Sundays. And I agree with what Joey said, too. I think this goes back to last year's semifinal against Alabama when as good of a player Kelly Bryant is, we heard Dabo talk about it. Didn't complete a pass, but it traveled 15 yards or more downfield. To beat elite defenses, you have to be able to throw the football into small windows under duress. Trevor Lawrence did that tonight as well as you could have. Remarkable, remarkable talent.
Gene Chizik, part of the coverage for ESPN last night. SEC coach in the past says he doesn't think Nick Saban will take this loss lightly. Here are specifics in this, though, as far as
there will be some serious, tough meetings in the next couple of days with the coaching staff, because I can promise you he's going to look at that game tonight because he's not going to sleep. He's going to look at everything on offense, defense, and special teams, and there's going to be some come-to-Jesus meetings in the next few days with his coaching staff, because when you get beat like this by a team who you would think right now were similar in talent, probably even a little bit better, and the result is what it is, you got to dig down deep and look at everything that's happening. I'm talking about from the weight room to the nutritionist to your meeting times to your game plan. Where did we come short on this? And it's going to start with the coaches. And yes, the players have part of the responsibility.
And as far as that game plan, Chizik said Clemson was just solid. Again, this is one of the things that stood out to me yesterday. I thought Clemson game plan was just incredible. Offensively, defensively, Saban, and you could just see the look on his faces and stuff, right? No answers.
They did everything that they needed to do as a coaching staff to take advantage of every single thing that Alabama could potentially give them. And tonight they did it. And then it goes down to the players. Because on these stages, players make plays. Coaches put them in positions. Players make plays. I'll start with defense. Venables started blitzing from day one.
First play.
And he never stopped. He said, look, I may put my guys at a disadvantage here and there, but we're going to hit your quarterback. He did it. offensively, these guys blocked on the offensive line what I thought was a defensive line that they could not block. Therefore, Trevor Lawrence threw the football. He stepped into his throws. He was never impeded by a pass rush, and the receivers were unconscious today.
And they really were. Some of those receivers, the catches they made were incredible, right? Nick Saban on the loss?
I think it was a poor decision on my part not to kick the field goal, you know, the first drive of the second half. We thought we had a really, really good fake, and somebody didn't block the guy they were supposed to block, so it didn't work. So it was a bad call. It's always that way. We didn't finish drives in the red zone because we could have got right back in the game now. I mean, we had the ball down there three times and, you know, didn't score a point. Didn't score a point. We had fake field goal, went for it on fourth down twice, had the ball on the one-yard line. So, I mean, this game could have been a little different if we'd have finished things a little better.
Just to show you the effort, though, that Clemson had, as you mentioned, as you heard Saban mention there, you had the ball the one-yard line a couple of times, couldn't score. Not a point. Saban saying, look, it was just a failure on a multitude of levels.
We certainly didn't play very well tonight, and, you know, we had some issues. We couldn't get off the field on third down. We gave up a couple big-time explosive plays on third down and 13, third down and 9. You know, we had plenty of opportunities to score offensively, have the ball at the one-yard line, get a penalty, end up kicking a field goal, have it down there a couple more times, do a fake field goal and go for it on fourth down and don't make it, get stopped on the goal line on the one-yard line another time. So got to congratulate Clemson. They did a very, very good job. Quarterback's really good. Their skill players are really good. You know, we actually stopped the run pretty well and created enough third down situations. We just couldn't get off the field on third down, and we couldn't capitalize on our opportunities that we had on offense.
More reaction from some of the ESPN folks this morning. Golic, Mike Golic on Clemson finally beating the bully on the block for college football.
From an intangible standpoint, to start there, what this team was able to do was incredible. They took the bully on the block, even though Clemson was right there with them.
Yep.
You know, but make no mistake, Alabama was the bully on the block. And what do they say you do to the bully?
Punch him in the mouth.
You punch him right in the mouth. You bloody his nose. It's Drago. It's like, look, he bleeds. He's human. And then you take him down from there. And that's exactly what Clemson did.
His son, Golic Jr., saying it was just odd, as it was probably to us, to just see Alabama just look like they had no answers. Couldn't figure it out. And you so used to seeing them either game plan, out game plan, you right? What do you always say? One of the reasons they beat LSU is they get 2 full weeks to prepare. You know, you don't want to give Saban time to prepare. And he got out game plan, man. He got out coached last night. Golic Jr.
Alabama had that quicksand feeling that usually is reserved for teams that are on the stage for the first time, teams that are not as well versed in what you do in these games and how you adjust. And that was the strangest part going into the first half when we see Alabama with about 45, 50 seconds left and 3 timeouts, burn one of those timeouts and then decide we're going to run the clock out and then just get into the halftime locker room and figure it out. You could hear a pin drop. That was a group going into the locker room that didn't have a lot of answers going in. And when they came back out, quickly found that they didn't have the answers still at that point.
All right, so it started. Ryan Clark, former Tiger, now on ESPN, talking about, is this the time that Nick Saban maybe thinks about the NFL? He was asked about whether or not he would go.
You don't leave places that put statues of you up while you're still there. For me, like, you've built Alabama into what it is now. You've resurrected one of the most historically great college football programs in the history of college football. They love you. You're going to continue to win. There is no reason for Nick Saban to leave there.
I agree. I mean, it's the same thing. I understand it. Now, Lewis Riddick, former front office exec, over part of the NFL coverage for ESPN, says, I get it, but I still would pick up the phone.
If I ever had a chance to try and get him to come back to the NFL, guaranteed be the first person I call. I guarantee he'd be the first person I call. Let's let me put it that way. He can coach.
Can you convince him?
Can I convince him? I think I'd have a decent shot.
Ooh, what do you think? You think Saban gives a look-see over to the NFL? I don't know. Sports Hangover continues next. We come back. We'll focus on the Philadelphia Eagles and the Saints. They'll be playing here, of course, not here in Philadelphia, but in New Orleans on Sunday. So weird to say that, Joey, in New Orleans. That's why I'm normally at. I'm in enemy territory behind the lines. As here in Philly, I'm telling you, man, It is Eagles fever. That is for sure. They're very confident. Yes, I know. But I gave you some of the numbers earlier that, one of the reasons that they are a little bit different here as well. So, a few more bites from Peterson as well. And you'll be surprised out of these two teams. Somebody says that the Saints have the best defense in the playoffs. We'll play that when we come back. Ooh. This is Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Vision Communication is proud to announce LightWave, a breakthrough in television viewing. The interactive programming guide is awesome for finding your favorite shows quickly. More channels are available, plus multi-room DVR, easy to search video on demand, and new apps such as local weather. You can even customize your settings for more control. LightWave is here. Call today to get a great introductory offer. It's part of our promise to bring you a better vision.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Getting closer. Getting closer to the Eagles and Saints. Top storylines going into the game. We'll get into that this week. Of course, tomorrow, Sean Payton will have his conference call. Drew Brees will speak. Doug Peterson spoke here yesterday in Philadelphia. And, I think one of the big differences is why they've gone now 6-1, winning the playoff game since that meeting, is the offensive line play. Right, Brian Baldinger putting up a video earlier today saying, look, some of their guys they had bum knees. Now they're healthy. Meanwhile, the Saints' offensive line. I mean, again, I read the numbers on that article, in that web article on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the team's official website, about the points and about the passing completion percentage dropping for the Saints, right? They say in week 13, 16, and they're taking out week 17 because the Saints sat their starters. New Orleans scored 20.3 points per game and were held to fewer than 20 points in three of those contests. In their first 11 games in which they won 10, they averaged 37.2 points per game. So we're down from 37.2 to 20.3. Oh. Saints passing completion percentage fell from a ridiculous, as he puts it, 75.8 in 11 games with an absurd passing rating of 126.3 to now 68.7 completion percentage and an above average 83.7. It's a big drop, right? The passer rating going from 126 to 83. That's a big drop.
Hey, Gus. What? Yeah, sure. Okay, this is driving me nuts.
Okay.
I've got to tell you this. I'm going to go back to 2009.
Okay.
Let me take you back. On our 13-game win streak, We were averaging 38 to 45 points a game.
Okay.
Drew Brees was throwing for 300 to 400 yards a game. Mm-hmm. Played the Redskins. We beat him in overtime 33-30. Drew Brees only threw, well, there he threw for 419. The next week, we only scored 26 in beating Atlanta. Drew Brees threw for 240. Mm-hmm. The next week, we lost to Dallas. Drew Brees threw for 240. We only scored 17 points. The next week, we lose to Tampa. We only scored 17. Drew Brees threw for 210. Carolina, it was a nothing game for us. We had Mark Brunell. He threw for just barely 102 yards. We scored only 3 points. Mm-hmm. We started slacking, and then when the playoffs came, here we go, 45-14, 31-28, 31-17, averaging 280 yards a game passing. The playoffs come, boom, we started again. It's almost like deja vu. The same three teams we lost to, the same thing happened. The slack, everybody says there's no way we can do it. We lost three in a row, then suddenly, boom, there we are. It's almost deja vu again. I got a good feeling.
Look, there's a lot of similarities, and, you know, there really is a lot of similarities that the same three teams the Saints lost to in 2009 are the same three teams the Saints lost to this year as well. I think offensive line's gonna be a big difference between the two teams that are meeting here. Doug Peterson on how good the offensive line has played for the Eagles.
They rise to the occasion. They rise to the challenge. You know, every time that or any time that we hear a lot about our opponent, especially the guys up front, and we've played a lot of really, really good defensive linemen this year, D-ends, D-tackles, and it just seems like our guys really embrace that opportunity, embrace the challenge.
Look, Saints played pretty good offensive line play against some pretty stout defense. Again, though, they were healthy. When they faced the Rams and all those first-round draft picks, they were healthy, right? They were nicked up the last part of the year. I mean, Bushrod faced the Cowboys, not Teron Armstead. You hope his health... Look, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be checking Twitter, Joey, waiting for, you know, that first injury update to come in, because I want to know how healthy that guy is, because they tried to put him out there, and he got hurt. So... he's key. If Teron Armstead can play and make it through the game and be effective, key. EF, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got for us, bud?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
I'm hearing a lot about how the numbers drop over the last 4 weeks of the season. But the one thing that we keep leaving out of that the three of those was a three-game road trip through enemy territory, hostile opponents. And we won two of them. The defense stepped up. So, I mean, we're not going to put up 48 points and 36 points all the time, even though, you know, especially during the December months when it's really everybody gets down into playoff football time. Mm-hmm. And you played against an angry Cowboys team. You know, we did what we had to do against the Bucks, but we played against the Carolina team that was fighting for their playoff lives, played against the Steelers team that was fighting for their playoff lives. I mean, they stepped up to the plate, and they found out ways to kind of stop us there. But I don't think that's a harbinger for us going forward. I think, just like Joey said, it's going to be just like it was. Like, we backed into the playoffs, and everybody was downgrading us, and we went out and we blew out Arizona, and we beat Minnesota, and we beat the Colts. And it's going to be the same thing. I just need the guys to be focused. Don't read their press clippings. don't fall for the hype and actually go into it like the underdogs, like the Eagles did last year.
Yeah.
Ski mask season. Let's go.
I like that. So EF, if I had to ask you one thing, and we'll get to Michael here after you, what's the one thing that concerns you? We'll use the word concern, but what's the one thing that you think would be a determining factor? What's the determining factor for Sunday for you? I think it's Saints O-line.
Yeah, oh, definitely. The O-line and other receivers not named Michael Thomas. I'm looking for Teddy again. They really come through, and maybe Traquan Smith makes this the breakout for the playoff game. But I need other receivers not named Michael Thomas or Alvin Kamara to really, really put it, you know, put their stamp on this game today, for Sunday.
I like that. So, yeah, so I'm with you. I do think other people other than Michael Thomas, you know, because Maybe Philly comes in here and says, you know what? If we're going to lose, we're going to lose to somebody else doing it. Do they bracket him? Do they double team him?
Exactly.
I really think they're going to be physical. I mean, why not, right? I mean, I just read you the numbers. Their rush defense has gotten better over the last several weeks. So maybe they come into the game saying, whatever we've done to stop the run, let's do it. We're going to put two guys right on Michael Thomas the entire game. Remember when the Patriots did that to Jimmy Graham when they played in New
exactly
England? They literally yep just had two guys on him the entire game. I wonder if Philly yep does something like that and just says, we get beat that way. Kudos to Sean yep Payton and Drew Brees. Yep. They did it. But Michael Thomas in the run game didn't get this.
And I'm looking for more of the Drew of the past. Remember when Drew would go down the field and, you know, they would think it was Marcus Colston, mm-hmm, but he'd target Lance Moore the whole drive down the field.
Yeah.
And it'd be all Lance Moore because he's open. And they said, oh, we got to worry about Lance Moore. Then it starts to loosen everybody else up. So maybe we'll start getting to more of that like he used to do, because that's mm-hmm what's been missing. And just really just it's going to come down to if we can get 4 to 5 yards on first and 10 on the first play, on our first offensive play, that's mm-hmm going to set the tone, because then Sean Payton can knock everybody off on the heels.
It is. Thank you, EF. Appreciate the phone call, man. Michael, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, buddy. What's going on, man?
Not much.
Listen, I'll just continue EF's conversation. Appreciate you coming to me. You know, one of the key factors, I think, or two actually, would be I hope Sean Payton switches things up just a little bit, and that way his telltale signs of what he normally does is just a hair different against Philadelphia, because you know everybody's watching film. And he has tendencies to do the same thing every time he brings Taysom Hill in. You know, so I hope he changes that up a little bit, and I'm sure he did. But I think Ben Watson is going to be a huge contributor in this game, because okay, EF is probably right. They're probably going to double up on Michael Thomas. That's going to leave Ben Watson in the middle with some of those guys that, yeah, they're a little more solid now, but those safeties and DBs were still, you know, basically unheard of 5 or 6 weeks ago. So I think Ben Watson is going to be a guy that's going to help out the Saints going down the field this coming game. I really do.
So Ben Watson could have an impact in this game. I'm with you again, because I definitely do think that they do something to try to limit the impact from Michael Thomas. I really honestly do. And again, say, hey, let's do what we're doing to stop the run. And again, I'm just looking at it from that perspective, right? I'm just like, prove to me, Traquan, prove to me, Ted Ginn, and prove to me that the tight end position can do that. So I'm with you on that. I like that. So you think Ben Watson could have an impact on this?
Absolutely. And don't mm-hmm don't think that the swing pass is out of the backfield. It may not be Kamara, you know. We did that in 2009 as well, so, and that was very successful. And one other thing that I'm looking at that I think EF may have said, I was busy doing something else, but,
sure,
you know, the things that you see are similar. Hey, man, don't sleep on the Colts in the AFC. And that's who we played in 2009. So if you want to look for another storyline, there it
could
is.
Could you imagine that?
That Colts defense is I think they're going to be a tough out. And the offense is clicking for them. I think they're going to be a tough out, man. So just my piece for the day. I know we have to beat Philadelphia. I'm not trying to jump ahead by any means.
Yeah.
Go Saints, and we'll talk next week, man. Take care.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, he brings up the Colts, man.
That'd be awesome.
Look, that would really be eerie, yes, in a similarity, prediction, right?
Pain.
Yep, pain. Yeah. I'll say this, man. There's a history. We'll focus on this as we get closer to the weekend. The Saints and Eagles have met several times in the postseason. There's a history here. When we come back out of this break, CBSSports.com, got to give them credit. They put just the recent history of bad blood. Cody Benjamin put up something a little bit ago on CBSSports.com. Eagles Saints continue months of trash talking ahead of the divisional round showdown. He says these are two teams who aren't particularly fond of one another. I don't know, is it trash talking or just, you know, it is what it is. Guess nowadays, Joey, everybody takes everything personal. Everyone's disrespected. The disrespect. Anyway, I'll go down the timeline that he put together as somehow 3 hours have almost come to a close. Matt Moskonen, after further review, can't wait to hear what his takes are on the national championship game. Did he just yuck it up last night watching Alabama get throttled 44-16? We'll do all of that and more. Plus what Matt Hasselbeck had to say about the Saints this playoffs. They continue. Four teams remain on each side. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one. Together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Sounds familiar. The Styx? Really? Elton John and Nielsen Jack? Huh. Okay. All right. So CBSSports.com has this, the history of the Saints and Eagles. Remember, less than 2 months ago, they faced off 48-7. So he goes back, he goes, August 8, 2018, Alvin Kamara says, Saints would have destroyed the Eagles in the 2017 playoffs. Except the Minneapolis miracle took place. He told Bleacher Report his team would have beat the bleep out the Eagles. They've advanced to the NFC Championship. The Eagles, of course, dominated the Vikings. And Kamara's Saints couldn't beat, then went on to win the Super Bowl. November 15, 2018, Kamara doubles down on his comments. He writes, days before, Kamara was asked about the comments over the summer while he emphasized that his remarks are more about being confident in New Orleans rather than disrespecting Philly. He asked reporters to repeat his August words exactly as they were said and declined to back away from his proclamations. November 17, Malcolm Jenkins brushes off Alvin Kamara's comments 2 days later, asked if he would address it. He said, the bulletin board material is really more for media and deny that Philly was worried about Kamara, reminding everyone that they won the Super Bowl. Game day, Jenkins flips off Sean Payton during the 48-7 loss, gave him the old number one in between the index finger and ring finger called the middle finger. Late fourth, touchdown gets dialed up, 45-7. Jenkins flips off the Saints sideline and then said, I love Sean to death, but this bird flip was personal between me and him. An apparent criticism of New Orleans running up the score. December 23rd, 2018. Kamara and Mark Ingram suggest Eagles are fraudulent. 1 week after Jenkins broke out a ski mask to celebrate a turnover in an Eagles-Cowboys game, Alvin Kamara did the same following the Saints' Week 16 win over the Steelers, and Ingram indicated the tradition belonged to New Orleans first. seemingly throwing shade at the Eagles in the process. Quote, there's a lot of fraudulence out here, so we've got to let them boys know who the real ski mask shoddies is. There you go. January 6, 2019, Jenkins, Doug Peterson, target Saints in post-game speeches. Right after they upset the Bears, Jenkins and Peterson made it a point to note who's next on the Eagles playoff schedule. Now I don't have to tell you where we headed next weekend. The coach hollered, said that in the locker room. Then on the 7th, Jason Peters called out the Saints for running up the score, seeks revenge. So there you go. There you go. Philly's longtime left tackle admitted his team didn't play well at all in the last trip, but promised an appetite for revenge, saying the Saints ran up the score and that the Eagles, quote, wanted them again. This time Peter said, we're coming with full expectations of a different outcome. January 8th, Eagles reclaim the ski mask tradition. Whether or not it was intended to take a shot at the Saints, the Eagles refused to surrender their rally around the ski mask in the lead up to Sunday's divisional round, announcing via Twitter that it's still Ski Mask SZN in Philadelphia. So Ski Mask season, and there it is, Joey. There it is.
Them fighting words.
Yep. At the Eagles on Twitter, the Eagles official Twitter page, it's the Philadelphia Eagles brandishing and then showing pictures in the locker room of a player wearing a ski mask. So there you have it, New Orleans Saints. I mean, I'm like, this sounds so childish. You said, you said I'm my mama. Well, actually, those are fighting words. If he's, it's just so silly.
It don't matter. Send him to the French Quarter with a ski mask. That's one less we have to worry about.
Good Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Go out there and have NOPD take care of you. Matt Hasselbeck on ESPN had this to say about who has the best defense remaining in the postseason. Who do you think it is, Joey? Who do you think it is?
I think you'll say the New Orleans Saints.
Imagine that.
When you look at the Saints, their front is great. They love their linebackers. They got linebackers that are big and physical and can play the pass. I think their secondary is a good secondary as an entire unit. I think the fact that they're going to get to play in their own stadium is going to make them even more dangerous. I think the Saints are one of those teams that we focus so much on their offense that I think we forget how many good players are still on that defense.
Because that's Cleveland's not in it. That's right.
No, they're yeah. not in it. That's yeah. right. That's right. I will say this. I do think that it's I like the fact that Philly is talking a little stuff. Right? Don't you? Not that I don't think. And again, this isn't in reference of the Saints won't be prepared. The Saints aren't ready for that. I don't think that's the case at all. As I've mentioned, and I will the next couple of days leading into Sunday, okay, this team got what it wanted. This team has been promoting it. This team has been desiring it, wishing for it. They've been wanting this, right? One way or another, whether it's the team, the front office, the fans, everyone's been saying, let's make one last run with Drew before Drew calls it quits. Here it is. Number one seed, road through the Super Bowl comes through you. You earned it. You earned it. You found ways to win. You won with defense. You won with the run game. You won with the pass game. You earned it. Here it is. Let everybody else talk about it. Go take care of your business. Here it is. I think you're a more balanced team, and I think you can probably be a better team than 2009. I think you got a better defense, right? Receiving core, I'll give the edge to 2009. But here it is. If Drew wants to be a legend a little further than he is, here it is. I mean, this is the team that wanted it, right? Remember the banner on the side of the building. Prove them right. I'm going to use that a lot in the upcoming shows this week. Thanks for everybody for tuning us in. As always, for our guests, Marlon Favorite, Clint Sterner, Scott Kushner, all y'all that chimed in via Twitter or the phone lines, and to Joey and Jordan, see you tomorrow. Matt Moscone is up next on ESPN New Orleans.